If you will, turn with me in the Word of God to our text this morning, which will be found in Luke chapter 8, verse 35. It's Luke 8, 35. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how glorious Thou art. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast preserved this place and preserved a time to come before Thee, Lord. We pray for Thy bidding now, that You would bring us to Thy feet, that You would make us to lie down, that You would give us hearts and minds toward Thee, that You'd cast all of our cares upon Thee. Thy healing would be throughout this congregation today, for those who are here and not with us, and those that are here, Lord. May You be pleased to bring forth the healing of body and soul. O Lord, how glorious Thou art, how good Thou art. Lord, I pray as we endeavor to meet in Thy name, that You would first and foremost meet with us for the glory of Thee. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Well, I can say this about our text. This is where I want to be. I long to be at the feet of Jesus. I've thought about that a lot this week as the Lord gave me this text. And I want you to understand that our concentration this morning will be that terminology that the Holy Spirit uses right there. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. What does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? What does it mean to be brought to the feet of Jesus? I think about that as we just came out of one holiday season, and I look around me and I see a lot of hurrying and hustling, and it's so easy as we've moved into another season. I think the longer I live in this life, the more I see man and industrialism and all the shopping and all the economics and everything starts a lot sooner and sooner and sooner, even on the other side of Thanksgiving now. And man is always in a rush to get to greed, to get to money, to get to a season of prosperity. And I thought about that as the Lord gave me this passage. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is at the feet of Jesus? Sometimes I thought about that this week as I have two very small pets, a cat and a little small dog. And both of them will come to me at times to be fed or to be pet, and they'll sit at my feet. And they'll want me either to give them attention or they'll want me to feed them. I thought about that this week as I think about my state. When I'm brought to the feet of Jesus, what am I looking for? What is it that is my desire? Is it Jesus? Is it that He increases and that I decrease? Is it to be brought away from all of the things that afflict and all of the hustle of the world and all of the things that attack me every day of my life? And that's what I want you to see today, Lord willing, that in the passages that we go to, we're going to be exposed to all of our enemies. How is it that we are attacked? And you'll see a common thread going through all of these attacks. And that thread is the remedy. And that remedy is to be brought to the feet of Jesus. If we turn back on a page just to verse 27, you can see the state of this individual who was brought to the feet of Jesus. And that's where we come and we look first as we examine, and we see in 27, when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Devil possession is not something that we readily like to talk about. Because when we do talk about it, we talk about it in this sense. We talk about it in this sense where the devil has totally taken over the mind of an individual, where he has no sense of see, where he has no sense of habitation. He has no sense of feeling of life, but he's living around dead and death. And sometimes when we hear those things and we're brought in the Word to those things, we can sit there and say, oh, this poor man. What is it like to be in devil possession or to have many devils afflicting you? And say, oh, this poor guy. And say, look how bad this is. And it's true. We have an extreme case of how the devils, and that's what 27 tells us, he had devils a long time. A long time. You and I today don't readily accept that or realize how much possession we have of devilish thoughts or devilish ideas that come into our mind. Whether it be idolatry, whether it be men-pleasing, whether it be all of the assaults of Satan come in this way. And as this one is met here at this time in his life, we are told a very sad, very desperate state of his mind. And that's what I want you to understand today. When the devil comes to you and I today, he attacks our mind. He attacks everything in our mind. He attacks the peace that we have. He attacks the logic that we have. He attacks everything and the soundness that the Lord gives us. And when he does that, we are no better than this one here who is living in the tombs. Because death takes over. When Satan is in the forefront of our mind, when he's attacking our minds, when he's attacking our thoughts, it only leads to death and life in the tombs. And as I said in this case, this one, he wore no clothes. He didn't even have a habitation. He didn't even have a place to dwell. You and I, when we are under the attacks of the wicked one, have no place to dwell. If we stay in that position, as we are constantly brought in our minds of attack, there is not a dwelling safe place. We can't see Christ. We haven't been brought to sit at His feet, as this one you will see is. And that's what I'm saying this morning. We're going to examine a lot of things. And you're going to see that in this life, we struggle with a lot of things. We struggle with them and we write them off and say that it's all right to do those things. It's okay to participate. It's okay. These are traditions. But these are the things that take our mind from the Lord. And when our mind is away from the Lord, there are certain things that beset us, and the devil is one of them. He is what we call an enemy that is always lurking, who is always opportunate. He is seeking, he is watching, he is saying, you know what? What is it that this child of God falls prey to all the time in their life? And I'll put that in front of them. And that's what I'm saying this morning. We have this one in 27 who said that the Word of God says he had devils a long time. He's been afflicted a long time in his life. He wore no clothes. He abode in no house. But he lived around death. He lived in the tombs. That's where his safe place was. In the death and the muck and mire of this world. And he will stay there until he's delivered. But I wouldn't want you to go from here today to say, wow, I better watch out for the devil. Yes, you should say that. But he's not our only enemy. Turn with me. Hold your finger there because we're going to come back here. And turn with me to the first place we'll go today in the book of Acts. And remember our text this morning and our whole concept this morning is sitting at the feet of Christ. The desire to be sitting at the feet of Christ. The need to be sitting at the feet of Christ. And what that means for the child of God. If you turn with me to Acts 22, you see something Paul had to say. And in verse 3, he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew. This is Paul's testimony. He was brought before him, and we'll just back up. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye now my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said to them, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. Yet up in this city, watch this, at the feet of Gamaliel, when you are brought up under the feet of a man, when you are brought up under the feet of the law, we just saw what it was to be brought up under the feet of the devil, to be sitting at the feet of the devil, listening to every word that he says, doing everything that comes into your mind. That's the mind of Satan taking over. What happens when we sit at the feet of man? What happens when the law encases us and tells us that we must live by the law and we must live by a code and we must live by a religion? I hope you see that this morning. Paul said it. He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. What did that produce in Paul? Well, he was zealous toward God. You say, well, that's a good thing. Dear ones, there's millions of people today that are zealous toward God. There are many people today that Jesus, in the finality of time, will look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. All the deeds that you did and all the zeal that you had. Understand, this is Paul's testimony of deliverance. This is what Paul said. This is where I was. When I sat in the feet of man, I learned the ways of man. We have all in our life sat at the feet of men. That's how we've gotten from one point to learn traditions, to learn how to do things, to learn. But the child of God must be weaned from that. He must sit at the feet and be brought to the feet of Christ, as you hopefully will see today. That's the only remedy, is to be brought to the feet of Christ. And what is that for the child of God? That's rest. It's rest in the finished work of Christ. Not the work of man. Not the work of your own hands. Not the law. Not what the devil tells you is right and wrong. We're just scratching the surface. Was zealous toward God as ye are all this day, and I persecuted this way unto death. That is what the Pharisaical mind will always do. He persecutes everyone he comes in contact with because he is God in his life. He has made him so. He says, what I've done has pleased God, and I have a right to sit in judgment of every man. And as that mindset comes, Paul said, I was this way. I was this way until it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, who called me unto a gospel, who called me and said, you will not confer with flesh and blood anymore. I am your Lord. I am your salvation. And that's the only deliverance. As we have the one here at Gadarene, the one that is going to be delivered, the one that is delivered, he must be brought to the feet of Christ. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And he did it all in the name of religion. And he did it all in the name of God. And I think about that. I really do. Sometimes I think in my flesh and in the hardness that I am, sometimes I think, and I'll take stands and I think, why am I taking a stand here? Why am I taking it? Because hatred's coming out and anger is coming out. And it's that Pharisaical spirit. And there's only one remedy for that Pharisaical spirit. That too is a demonic influence in us. That too is where this old nature rises up. And there's nothing good in it. And Paul said, this is the way that I used to be. And I don't want you to miss the central point that Paul makes here. It's when I sat at the feet of man, and I sat at the feet of the must-tos, and I sat at the feet of the have-to, and I sat at the feet of formalized religion, and I really believed that this was the true way to God. And until the Lord knocked him off his horse and delivered him, he stayed there. He stayed there just as violent, even consenting to the children of God's death, and one named Stephen. It's humbling. It's very humbling to the child of God to see what he's capable of without the restraining grace of the Lord, without the power of the Lord, without the Lord's presence in our life. Every day we can wander. Every day we're prone to wander. But where is deliverance? Well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6 real quick. We're going to get back to our text here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 6 says this. And we'll just start in verse 9. Know ye not, this is Paul again, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you know that today? I know what watered down religion tells you. I know the acceptance and plurality that's always crammed down our throat in this day and age. I understand that. But who cares how man looks at it? That's sitting at the feet of man. How does the Lord look at it? Paul puts it right here. He said that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Why would he say that? Be not deceived. Because the deception in the world and the deception of Satan and the deception of false religion is that the Lord accepts every man. He accepts every sin. He accepts anything that you do. When the truth of the matter is, he accepted his son. He accepted everything his son has done for his people. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then there's that passage. There's that amazing grace. There's that difference. To be brought to the feet of Jesus. What's the difference? And such were some of you. Do you identify? Do you identify? You say, oh no, those sins are just too bad for me. I would never even think them. I would never do them. I would never. Well, the Lord will judge this day. May the Lord judge you in His Word. May He bring to you now in the power of His Spirit those, how really true and deep the fall really was that plunged us into. How dire need we are of a Savior to come to us every day. And this is what He does. But ye are washed. You're washed. Washed in His blood. That fountain that's open daily. Wasn't open once. It's open daily. Because as we live in this world, we continue to live in this world, we're polluted every day by the cares of this world, by the concerns for this world, by the sins that are in this world. Every day, we're defiled by them and need to be washed. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is being brought to sit at the feet of Jesus. As we sit at the feet of Jesus, He is increased and we are decreased. As we're exhorted to look away unto Jesus, we look away from a position that He brings us to His feet to be instructed. And I hope you see that, because we're going to go back to our text here in a minute where we see that's where this one had to be brought. But we're not done here. Paul said, "All things are lawful unto me." I want you to understand, I think we do understand that. We live that way, that all things are lawful unto us. But all things are not expedient. Not all things are profitable for your soul. I don't know how many sea laws you take every time the world comes knocking on your door. I don't know how much prayer you commit to the Lord when the prospects of the world come your way. I don't know how much time you sit and at the feet of Jesus, or you're brought to the feet of Jesus when the world comes looking for you. I don't know those answers. But Paul said, "All things are lawful to me, but not all things are profitable or expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." How does he know that? Because he's in Christ Jesus, who is his power, who is his life. And that's the assurance that the child of God has, that, "Lord, I know I stray. I know that my fallen nature is very strong. I know the wicked one is in my ear all the time. I know that I'm cumbered about many things in this life, Lord. But Lord, if I'm safe, if I'm in you, that is where my eternal security is. That is where I need to be brought." That's how we started this message. This is where I need to be. I need to be at the feet of Christ. There are so many things that worry us in this life. We're sheep. That's what sheep do. They wander. They're anxious about a lot of things. And the only thing for the sheep is to hear the voice of their shepherd. To hear the shepherd speak to them that it will be all right. That he will carry us through, that he will provide, that he is Jehovah Jireh, that he is the Lord omnipotent, that he reigneth. "I will not be brought under the power of any." Now listen to 13 and 14. "Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." You see that? How Christ keeps getting exalted and all the things, the physical things, Paul keeps putting down and saying, these are not important. They will all perish. You will come in this life to lose almost everything you have. But you can never lose Christ. We're going to get to that. And look at 14. "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power." We're raised to sit at His feet from the muck and the mire, from the tombs, from whatever it is that besets us. We're not, like I said, we're getting there. We're just now scratching the surface. We had our first stop. We've had two places of deliverance that we've needed. To be brought from death. Let's go back to our text now in Luke 8. To be brought back from death in the tombs. To be brought back where we are tormented from the devil on a daily basis. And that's what it says. He had devils a long time. But now turn back over to our text in 35. "Then they went out to see what was done." This is after Jesus cast out the devils, sends them into the pigs, and they run down the hill and they're gone. He cast out those devils. That wasn't all that the guy had, right? He had torments. He had no home. He had no decency. He had nothing. He had no care for anything but death. Living among death. Living among the filth and depravity of this world. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And you know what it did? It scared them. The world will never understand. The Lord says it in his word. They do not have the spirit of discernment. They cannot understand that the child of God has meat that they know not of. The presence of the Lord in the child of God's life is something that the world will fear, will be angry at, will disallow, will want to get away from, will because it's foreign to them and it's offensive to them. But look at 39 before we move on. Return to thy house. This is the words of Jesus. And show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city. What did he publish? What did he publish? What did he publish to everyone? What does the child of God publish when the Lord works in his soul? What is the music of the child of God? What is his message to fellow man? What is it when you go out into the world? Throughout the whole city, how great things Jesus had done unto him. Not what he had done for Christ. Not how he had been delivered of him, where he came from even. Let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the great things that Jesus has done. We can haggle all day in this world with those who don't believe in the sufficiency of Christ. We can argue. We can complain. We can do all those things that are not expedient. Not profitable for our soul. But for the child of God to be brought to the feet of Christ is where our rest is. To see what Jesus had done, has done. What he has finished, what he has accomplished, what he has continued in my soul day after day because he is faithful. Now turn with me a couple pages over to Luke 10. And we'll find our second account of being brought to Jesus' feet. And that comes from verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We'll back up one and we'll start. Now it came to pass in 38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now we're told in verse 40 that Martha and Mary had people in the house. That Mary and Martha were serving those people. That Martha and Mary were both cumbered with the things in the house. That's what she tells us in 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care my sister has left me? She left Martha with the work to do and all the cares. She left her. She was right there beside her and she said, no, what does that? You and I have spent a week and we're going to have weeks leading up to Christmas where we're going to be cumbered about a lot of things. We're going to be worried and hustling around and we're going to have people coming and we're going to be working hard and we're going to be putting everything in order and buying gifts and doing all this stuff. What is going to make us stop what we're doing and be brought to the feet of Christ? It's not anything in you and I. I want you to see that. She is sitting there right with her sister and serving right alongside of her with the same cares that Martha has. But in 39, we're told, Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She left where she was. She left what she was doing and she came to the feet of Christ. You and I believe every one of you in here, would agree with me and say, I want to be at the feet of Christ. I don't have a doubt about that. I believe we have a desire in the day of the Lord's power to be at His feet. But how do we get there? How do we get there? The formalized religionists would come and tell us that it's in our power to do it. Here's how you do it. Here's what you must do. Here's how you've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've just got to stop doing this. Have you heard that? People will tell you, you're bothered with a lot of things. You're cumbered with something. And that's that counsel you get is, well, you just got to stop. You just got to let go. Let go and let God. You ever heard that? I've heard that. And I say the same thing to all of these Arminian and satanic thoughts. I say, if it was possible, why don't we do it? Where is that power? If we have this power to do it, why don't we do it? And my answer has to be, according to the Word, I will in the day of His power. That's what shows me here. That's what Mary, there's a reason Mary's called away. Did Jesus love Mary more than Martha? Absolutely not. But there is a contrast here. One child of God is burdened by the world. The other child of God is not. But they were brought to the feet of Christ, where the peace is, the tranquility is, the finished work of Jesus. I have to hear His voice. He's the remedy for all of this. I have to be brought there. And that's what Jesus does. He brings her to the feet of Himself for rest. Because I don't care what you hear in this life, and I don't care what people tell you or what's said, there is a rest that remains for the people of God. And it's right here at the feet of Jesus. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 tells us, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now listen, I don't want you to get bad thoughts about Martha. Martha was very much loved of the Lord. You'll see that. You know, you see her love for the Lord as she's crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, do you care? Do you care that I'm left here? But what she has lost sight of is what Jesus tells her, the one thing that's needful. The one thing that's necessary to live on in this life is to sit at the feet of Christ. To hear the shepherd's voice. To be empowered by the shepherd to live. That's what we need. That's what we have to have. That's the must. He must increase, and we must decrease. In 42, Jesus tells her, but one thing is, and Mary has chosen that good part. What a blessing. What a blessing to be able to see what faith produces. When the Lord gives faith, it does produce His work. It does. We're not fruitless people. The people of God show forth His work. We are His workmanship. And that, I'd ask the Holy Spirit to search us this morning about deadness and about life. And if that is truly the case in your life, do you show forth the work of Christ? Is that your witness? I mean, that's Mary's witness here, because faith has been given to her to see that there's something greater than cumbering in this world. There's something greater than the urgency of the hour that man and tradition tells her. It tells her that there's an urgency now at this hour. You must do. You have to do. You've got to do. But faith brought her to the feet of Christ. Faith reaches and apprehends Christ and says, I want you. That's the gift of God. That is the gift of Christ in the opening of His storehouse to give faith to His children to live. She has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what that means? You know what that means? Our union can never be broken. If we are in Christ, no man can pluck us from the hand of Christ. and no man can pluck us from the Father's election. How do I know that? Jesus said it in John 10, 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is eternal security. That is the security the child of God. No man can take this part from you. I know we spend a lot of time trying to please men and fit in with men in this life. We're told in the Word of God we ought not to please men, but please God. And that's true. We ought not to do that. We ought not even to try to do that. But to ask the Lord, Lord, what is pleasing to you? I wonder how many times we're brought to His feet to ask Him that. What is pleasing to you, Lord? Because He is the one thing needful. Oh, Martha, Martha, insert my name there. You're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing. And Mary has chosen that good part. She has chosen that good thing. She has been brought to me. She has been brought here to see the one thing needful. Sitting at my feet. Hearing my voice. Oh, boy. And I know there are some saints in this room that are sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to need that. I need it today, but I'm going to need that. I've got a lot on my mind. I'm cumbered about many things. I want to be called away. Yeah, I do too. I do too. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And He does it all because of His love for His children. He brings us to His banqueting house. He brings us to be fed at His table, sitting at His feet, to allow those crumbs to fall from His table, to feed and to nourish us. Why? Because His banner over us is love. Love. Last place we'll go today is Matthew 15. See something else about being brought to His feet. In Matthew 15, verse 30, we read this. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. I wonder this morning if any of those things that I just read suit your case. Any of those things, and I'm not really speaking physically, although that certainly is the case, but are you lame? Can you walk on your own feet in this life? Can you walk and know the way? Jesus was asked this, Lord, how will we know the way? And Jesus' answer was, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. How will we know the way, Lord? We're lame on our feet. We're like Mephibosheth. We must be carried to the table to banquet with You, Lord. We must be brought to Your feet. We're lame. And they brought all of these that were diseased, and they brought them to Jesus' feet because that's where healing is. That's where you and I today have to be brought to His feet, where healing is. How will we walk? How will we know the way? How can we walk in this life in the lameness that we know it resides in us? Lord, I don't know all the ways to be a good husband or a good dad or a good worker, or Lord, I need to know, what is it that pleases You? Lord, carry me. I need to be brought to His feet in my lameness to be carried. But it's not just the lame, it's also the blind. that can't see anything without Him. As I said, we go on in this life every day until we're interrupted, until the Lord shows us. We go on in blindness. We're blind to everything. We're blind to men's motives. We're blind to the hatred of Christ in this world. We're blind to the world and its allurements. We're blind to Satan's in our ear. We're blind to all that until the Lord reveals to us that's not His way. His way is when He gives us the eyes of faith to see what He has done and to rest in His finished work. Yes, He makes the lame to walk. He makes the blind to see. And then there's the dumb. Those who have no understanding. Well, that's me. Until the Lord opens my understanding, I don't understand. I can read this Bible. I can get to my own surmising of things that's going on in it. I can. I can formulate any kind of doctrine. I can formulate thoughts. I can formulate all those things based on a book report like I would do in school. But I won't understand what the Lord meant in it without the Lord opening my eyes. I will not understand the depth that the Lord has in His Word that it means to sit at His feet unless He gives me understanding that that means rest. That means brought to the end of yourself. That means totally dependent upon my Lord. But He must open my eyes, my ears, and my understanding. Because then we have the maimed. The maimed. Have you not been maimed in this life? Have you not been hurt? Have you not been run over by those in this life? Have you not been wounded? I have. How can one... This brings the Samaritan to mind to me. I'm left half dead. The world has had its way with me and I'm left half dead. And unless the Lord comes and puts me on His shoulders and brings me back and nourishes me and pours the Holy Spirit upon me to anoint me, to bring forth healing, there'll be no healing. There'll be no healing. But He is faithful. That's why they brought them all to His feet. Because He's the one that has healing. He is the one who has all power. Malachi said it this way in 4:2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Lord, make us to grow up as calves. Make us to grow up in Thee, Lord. We need Thee every hour. We need Thee every minute. We need to be brought to Thy feet. To be stopped as we're cumbered in this life. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of anxiety. He's not given us the spirit of carelessness. He's not given us the spirit of bondage. But He has given us power of His Son, the love of His Son, and the sound mind, the mind of Christ. May the Lord bring us to His feet today and often as He wills. To bring us away from this world and to hear His voice and to be taught of Him.